Hello, everybody. This is Clint Locklear with a rant of a free trapper. And I want to talk about just a little bit of if I was president for the day. And I've got a short video clip that Travis brought me that, it, to me, it's highly inspirational. And if you want to know how to have a successful kid, teach him or her to think like this. It's not what they're going to learn at school, and it may not be the way that you think, but you can imprint success onto young people or older people either way, and it's just how they see the world. Now, before we get into this, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supply. Alan out in Iowa. He's got everything you'd ever want for your trapping and calling and stuff like that. Great on shipping. Good prices. They do a lot on eBay and Amazon, Bonanza, Walmart. They've got pretty much all my products. And so just keep in mind, if you're going to buy something, remember to support the people that help support the things that you want to do. So I want to play this video, and hopefully nobody calls me in the middle of this so everybody can hear it.
Folks, this is one of the best stories I've heard in a long time. My next guest is a 16-year-old entrepreneur who made national headlines setting up an illegal candy business that he ran out of the bathroom of his school. And get this, he made about $33,000. You have got to respect the hustle. All the way from England, everybody, please welcome Nathan John Baptiste. All right, man, let me get this straight, Nathan.
Yeah.
You earn roughly $33,000.
Yes.
Selling candy out your school bathroom.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Indeed, it was an experience, but we did it in the end.
How did you make it lucrative? What went into this business plan?
So literally, I had three different schools running, so it wasn't just a normal selling candy in school. There were over 12 different employees across three different schools. Yep. 12 different employees across three different schools, and every single morning we would sort of dish out all the sweets during the morning, and they'll come back to me at the end of the day with the profits they made. We had an actual shop in a boys' toilet as well.
What happened, and how'd you get shut down?
So literally, one day I got caught doing my thing in the toilet, selling the sweets. And and then what happened was I was in my test one day, and the teacher actually came in, asked, Nathan, can you come with us? And they searched my bag, and it was over from there, just shut down. But we weren't shut down completely. Let me say that, we weren't shut down completely.
Come on, yeah.
We still had the employees running the business whilst I was excluded from the classroom. You weren't shut down completely.
All right, now, what was it or who inspired you to set up this business? What happened?
So I actually went to a program which allowed people from black backgrounds, because I'm mixed race myself, and it was to better ourselves. So there was somebody that came in, we had loads of guests, but there was one guest in particular, and that was a guy called Carl, and he had a pass, you know, I had a pass too, and he came in, and he actually spoke to us about his business and how he started to get into business. And from that day, I met him, and he pulled out his car key. I remember the car key. And that, from the moment I saw that, I was like, yeah, I'm getting into business. And that's the day I started working.
Oh, because he had a car key.
Yeah, that nice car key.
You said,
nice,
man.
Very nice
car. I got to get into business.
That was it.
Now, the story's still good, folks. Okay, you've earned yourself a nickname. What is it?
The Wolf of Wolfenstein.
You saw the movie The Wolf of Wall Street? This is The Wolf of Wolfenstein. Now, you took this money and you spent a lot of it on something I personally love. You spent a lot of your money on nice suits.
I do a lot of business, so you've got to wear some nice suits. You can't be going to a show like this either with no nice suit on. So, yeah, come with a couple of suits. Of course.
I mean, look, you know the other alternative, what they could be doing. The kid goes buy some candy wholesale and sets up shop. What makes it incredible is he employs how many people?
12.
12 people at three other schools.
Thank you. And that was the whole point in the program as well. Because a lot of people that were in that program, They had the potential, we had the potential to go down that other path. So that's why the whole program Young Leaders was there, to take us away from that path.
Because you had a past.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Just like this guy that came as
well. Yeah, like it was going down that path, I would say. And the people in that program, they had the potential, like I said, and that's why the program was set up, to allow people to find another alternative, you know, in life.
What's the most money you made in a day?
What, for sweets? Or, yeah. Oh, for sweets. Okay, cool. That's another business. But from sweets?
Yeah.
From sweets, around 200.
I love this too.
200.
200?
Yeah, from sweets in a day.
What's the other business?
Okay, so that's something to do with the foreign exchange.
You learned how to do...
I learned how to trade
currency?
Foreign exchange, yeah. I've always had a dream of actually trading, and I taught myself how to trade the foreign exchange market.
Well, let me tell you something, man. I know how a great, nice suit can make you feel. I dress up every day. I have on a suit and tie every day.
Yeah.
I don't care what, every show.
Okay, guys, they go into this love affair with suits. I don't see any reason to listen to that, but think about what you just heard. A kid in high school saw an opportunity, because you know good and well they have vending machines at these schools, and you know good and well that they're just like you're stopping somewhere and they're four times higher than they should be. And because he went to this business class, he saw the opportunity. I can sell candy at half the price and make 100% profit off of this, probably. And then I can expand this out. And I can generate a business. And not only can I generate a business selling candy from a school, I can employ other people at other schools to sell candy, so I can make money off candy being sold at a school that I'm not at. Or even if I get caught like he did and get expended, he's still bringing in money. That's a kid. He looks to be about 15 or 16. You know, I wish we had stories like that I could show from this country. But we don't. Think about the mindset of that kid. That kid is going to be okay. That kid doesn't need a job. That kid doesn't need a debt-ridden college degree so he learns how bad America is. That kid is going to understand what's around him, and whether it's selling candy or trading foreign exchange, because that was an interest to his. He just, listen to that. He was interested in doing that. Why, I have no idea. It's a weird thing for a young kid to be interested. He was. He probably took his candy money, started trading the currencies, lost some, won some, figured it out, started making some money. That's his business today, which is a lot more than the candy business. How many adults today have the nutsack to actually do what this kid did? Very, very few. And one thing you can tell by watching this, and this is, I'm sure if you were to look up, let's see, what's the guy's name? Harvey, he does the Family Feud thing, and you know, like candy salesman or business, something like that. You can probably find this video. By looking at this kid, you're looking at a little man, not a little boy, a little man. Thinks like a man, not a wimpy man, not a baby boy man, a man. I was listening to this thing the other day, and the guy's name is Pena. I don't know how you pronounce it in Spanish, P-E-N-A. He's all over YouTube. He's got... he cusses so much that I guarantee you a Navy SEAL Master Chief probably blushed just a little bit. But he shows this video, and it's a video of one of his seminars, and it's a female lion. Now, keep in mind, in a lion pride, the males lose their eyes and die protecting the pride. That's what they do. They don't hunt. They protect the pride. And the females hunt. And everybody shares. But while they're hunting, the males protect the little ones and the mamas and stuff like that. That's what they do. He's got this video of a female lion laying right next to a trail with all these wildebeest going down. Hundreds and hundreds of wildebeest. And you can see by the body language of this female lion that she thinks about it and stops. She thinks about it and stops. She thinks about it and stops. And well, it's getting towards the end of the wildebeest. And out of the back of the screen comes a big, burly male lion that almost has to jump over her because she's in the way. And within 1 second, he picks target, he locks on, and he's eaten. The lion didn't hesitate. Not the male lion. This had nothing to do with gender right now. The female lion did hesitate. And what he was saying is, most people have all these opportunities right in front of them, just like the female lion did, all day long, stacked right behind the other. And they're sitting there and they're thinking about it and they're getting excited thinking about it, but they don't move. They don't do anything. They just sit there. Finally, somebody goes, it's time to eat. It's time to go kill something. And the male lion runs right out there in front of the female, not 10 feet away, and snags a wildebeest. Very few people today are that male lion. Most people today, gender excluded, is the female lion. They see stuff all the time that's opportunity. What that kid has learned from doing this is there's money to be made everywhere, every day. All you have to do is open your eyes and see it. Revenue streams. Big and small, they're everywhere. Yesterday, I was talking to my old postman. He's now got another route. I know him from church and stuff. And we got to talking about Jeeps. Now, this may not seem like a big deal to me and you, but to postman, this is a big deal. This is the last year Jeep is putting a right-handed drive in the four-door Jeeps, any Jeeps for that matter. You cannot find a right-handed Jeep right now at a dealership. If they're on a train 3 months out, people are putting deposits down on them. Now see, to someone that thinks like this kid or thinks like an entrepreneur, massive opportunity. Massive. What does it cost to convert a Jeep to the right-hand side? I have no idea. I'm not a mechanic. But I know I could start a business tomorrow, find the right people, and start getting orders like that. Why? Because there's a massive need. People want it. That's not an opportunity I went and looked at. I was getting chicken food at Tractor Supply. And probably a multi-million dollar business was dumped right on the floor of Tractor Supply. Now, the postman never once thought about a conversion kit. All he knew is he had to fight and scratch for several months to get his right-handed one before they were all gone. And I bet you there's going to be somebody out there that's going to see this, not what I'm doing, but just see what's going on in the Jeep market with a postman, because think of how many postmen there are in the country that want right-hand driven vehicles. You could set up a shop. Think if you're a mechanic and you're struggling and you knew how to do this, dude, you're on, you know, massive income street. Buy one, figure it out, go out and start putting it online and putting it on YouTube. Order after order after order, because you see things different than most people. Because the postman guy never thought about maybe that's a good idea to do. Never crossed his mind. Now see, I have an affinity for this kid because I got in trouble 3 times when I was in the 5th grade or 6th grade at a private school because I set up my own candy business. And the school didn't like it because they only wanted you to be able to buy candy from the school. Now, apparently, I was a little libertarian from the beginning. And I thought that was stupid. And I didn't care what the adult said because it wasn't right. And it ended with a knockdown, drag-out paddling episode in the principal's office. I would not give in because it was such easy money. I'd go cut a yard I'd have some money. I could take it down to the little shop, turn around and turn that into more money, take that money back down there and build inventory. And I don't think I was doing $200 a day. This was small scale, but it was probably $15, $20 profit in the late 70s. Dude, that'd be like $200 today. You know what you could buy for $20 and $30? At the end of the week, there was a lot of adults that probably didn't make that much more in a 40-hour job. I mean, that's the reason this meets me. I mean, like, I'm kindred spirits to this little kid over this. Now, see, if I was president for a day, or I was king, because I need to be more than that, I would set up every single school in America where at least 2 hours a day it was on how to think like an entrepreneur. And I would try to set up charter schools that were nothing but entrepreneurship. And you may be thinking, well, what about math? In history, in English, in writing, and all the other subjects that are so important that kids can't do today anyway because the school sucks so bad. If somebody gets into entrepreneurship, they've got to learn math, and they will want to learn math because they're going to want to learn how to make money and not lose money. Math at that stage is not a problem. They want to learn it. If they want to learn how to advertise, they're going to have to learn how to market. They're going to have to learn psychology. They're going to have to learn history. They're going to have to learn trends. They're going to have to learn how to write in a compelling manner to get customers. Getting a kid to learn how to write in that situation is not a problem. Because I guarantee you, you go to a school and you just start a math class and people's heads are bobbing around because they're trying to stay awake. Or you put it in a context where this is how you're going to be a millionaire by the time you're 30. What is it you want to do that is your business that you're going to run, and you're going to put this money in your account, and you're going to go buy the beach house, and you're going to have the Ferrari? What is it that you want to do? You don't know. Not a problem. We're going to watch some TV, and we're going to come up with business ideas. We're going to go walk around a city, and we're going to come up with business ideas. We're going to bring in entrepreneurs that talk about what they do. I mean, think about what it would mean to a kid when they go, well, you can't start a business like this, that, and the other. What do? I sell rotted meat for $16 a pound. What? Think about that. There is a multi-million dollar franchise right now in this country started by a young woman, actually, that they hire kids to go around and do a daily poop pickup in people's backyards. It is a multi... Why? There's a need. People don't want to pick up the poop. You got to pick up the poop or it gets too nasty to walk in your own backyard. Oh, you'll do it for $25 a week or whatever they charge. I don't know what they charge. The original person was slammed full very quick. She hired people, franchised it out. Now she's making $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 on these franchises for picking up poop. See, it's not the economy we're in. It's the setting in our brain we're in that keeps it from being available. I mean, that's what it is. It's how you see the world. I mean, when you realize, and I've talked about this before, when you realize you can buy a pack of tomato seeds for $2 retail, we're not talking volume, we're not talking anything special, we're just talking tomato plants. And you make a makeshift greenhouse, which costs you next to nothing. And you get you some trays, and you put the seeds inside of the trays, and they grow into these little tomato plants. The seeds cost you about 3-4 cents a piece. Walmart sells that same plant. The cheapest place in the world, apparently, is Walmart. Walmart sells that same plant now for $3.99. The profit from 3 cents, if you sell them at $3, and you got way better of a marketing story than Walmart can, because they don't even know where they come from. What is the percentage of that? 300,000 profit? Is it 3 million? Heck, I don't know. I don't know how you'd figure something up like that. 3 cents to $3. Well, I guess it'd be... Yeah, I don't even know how to figure that up in my head. It's crazy. But see, to an entrepreneur, it's obvious. Everybody has skill sets and thoughts. Everybody on a daily basis, you know, it's like that old saying, you know, most people see opportunities and it comes in the form of overalls or something like that. You know, whatever that old phrase is. You know, they don't want to sweat. They don't want to do the work. And more importantly, they don't even take the time to look around and see the opportunities. Because when you do, I promise you, what you're going to find out is it's not what can you do to make money. It's what you need to concentrate on to make money, because there's way too many things to do to make money. If y'all were to listen to some of the conversations of me and Chip from Expand-A-Pants, people would be absolutely floored at all. This is kind of a game we play. We see things, we call each other, we talk it over. Good, bad, ugly. 99% of them we have no intentions of doing. It's like training. We see things, we bring it up, we talk about it, we do this. This has happened, I bet you, 100 times in the last 2 or 3 years. 100 profitable business opportunities. Then you weigh that of what you're doing or what that can become, and all these different things come into play. The opportunities of making money, there's no excuse in today's world, none, to not make money. Now, see, I don't know if I can convince most adults that's true, because the idea of them doing that has been beat out of them since kindergarten. Most parents are scared to death of their kids opening a business. Most business schools are scared of you opening a business. A business school degree is meant to go get a job, not start your own startup. But kids, you think the economy's doing good now? You turn out a generation of kids that understand opportunity, understand how easy it is to make money once they figure out a need of customers, you would change the face of America forever. It would make the Industrial Revolutions look like a fart in the wind to the economy of what would be. And they're already saying in the next 5 or 6 years, a majority of people are not going to have a quote, full-time job. That's just not the way the economy's going. People are going to make a living by several revenue streams. Kind of like I do. Kind of like Chip does. It's the way you see the world. And trust me, if there was a way I could make a pill that someone could take where their brain would get rid of all of the negative stuff they've been taught and lied about their whole life, about how hard it's got to be, and this struggle, and it's, you know, it's always just the rich people starting businesses and getting rich. All that crap could just go away. And every time that a business opportunity would show up in a small manner to a big manner, like everything in their vision turned to a bright green or something, or they couldn't miss it, I would make that pill and give it away for free. Now, I'm saying that as a business owner, because the economy that would make, I could do anything after that. Because it would be money literally floating around every time the wind blew. If you want to have a kid to think like this, it is your job as a parent to teach them to think like this, which means you may have to learn to think like this first. But if you want to have kids that are not going to be outsourcing their income to an employer their whole life for fake security, where they start looking at money the way an entrepreneur looks at money. I need money. Let's go make some money. You have a job, you can work harder, but your paycheck is the same. Doesn't change. But it's how you see the world and all of the opportunity. I mean, all the stuff I've designed for trapping, it's all based off of needs. I've got some stuff in the pipeline right now. It's all based off of needs. I've got a new lure product coming out that I'm not going to get into right now, but it's called a coyote claymore. And it ain't anything that is like in the industry today. Why? There is a need. A big, big need that no one has opened their eyes to and saw or made a move on. I guarantee you, I'm probably not the first person to think about it, but I'm the first person to move on it. Why? Because I see that there's opportunity everywhere, even in a business like mine that's somewhat established. Please get in the habit of figuring out what the opportunities are that are in front of you. And don't be like that female lion with all of that food running right in front of her, and she kept looking and waiting and looking and waiting and looking and waiting. Eventually, you got to get off your butt and kill it. That's what you got to do. You got to move on opportunity. Like I said, once you start seeing it, you're going to have to get good at moving on opportunity that's right for you, because there's so much out there. Please don't be the lion that watches everything go by. Be the lion that jumps over the lion that's sitting there watching the world go by and grab a wildebeest by the neck and feast. Everyone that listens to this show should be feasting, not watching, feasting.